I promise you. Okay, last time I talked, which was a couple weeks ago, and I just want to put in a little plug. If you didn't hear what James had to share last week, I really encourage you to go on the website and listen to it. It was just a magnificent overview of the festivals that are coming up, and then just shows you how even back then Jesus was setting up types and things like that and pointing to him, okay? But it was really excellent. It was really excellent. So I'd really encourage you to go back and listen to that if you didn't hear that. At the time before that, I talked about what I would call, I'm in this faith series, and the first one I did was what I would call initial faith, or you could also call it converting faith. Hebrews 11:1 obviously is the scripture that everybody knows, that when it comes to faith, that's the first thing that they do. Could somebody run down and get me a glass of water, please? I'm sorry, I just forgot to do that. Hebrews 11:1, reading out of the New International Version. I love how God does things because I really don't like the New International Version. No offense to anybody that reads the NIV. But I really like how this verse is. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Back to Hebrews 11:1. Thank you, sir. Hebrews 11:1, NIV. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And that Greek word there for faith means firm persuasion. Not just persuasion, but firm persuasion. Conviction, a deep conviction. Conviction is something that's deep within you. Belief in the truth, and we know who the truth is and what the truth is. The accuracy and the reality. It's to believe in, to have confidence in, and to trust him in everything that we do and everything we go through. So there's various types of faith, and we really talked about three of them last week, or 2 weeks ago. But the faith that leads to believing, the faith which leads to confessing, the faith which leads to, and the believing and the confessing is all part of the initial action, which is an active thing versus a passive. It's taking steps to actually say, God, I need you. I can't do it. I am a sinner. Save me. And then what we're going to talk about today is that which sustains us as we walk through the day. And then the next one I'll get into will be called charismatic faith, and I'll do that on 10-8 because Terry's going to talk a week from Sunday on faith also. Faith initially was actually a gift. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 in the New Living Translation says this: God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. Wow, wait a second, what is this? It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Remember, we talked about, how both faith and salvation is a gift. Our righteousness was as filthy rags when you go back to Isaiah. But it's a gift, and we can't boast about it because it's something that God did. I love how Kenneth Hagin puts it. Faith is now. Faith is now. It's a now action. It's a now active thing where hope is something for the future. I hope that this happens. I hope that you do that. Faith is, I know that's going to happen right now. As Charles Spurgeon puts it, faith points us to Jesus Christ. Always, always, always. And I like how Bill Johnson puts it, Jesus Christ is perfect theology. Maybe that's why Paul said what he said in 1 Corinthians 2:2. And this is later in his ministry and so forth. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, all you have to do is do a cursory reading of the New Testament. You realize he knew a lot more. But what he was saying is Jesus Christ trumps it all. See, Jesus Christ took the justice that God had given us for our sin by taking all of our sin, the past, the present, and the future, and he dealt with it at the cross. See, Jesus had to do something about our sin because he's a just God. And like I said last week, so he didn't just go running around heaven like chicken noodle. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? He knew what to do. God then, and what he did is through his mercy, he lifted all of the sins that we have ever committed, are committing, and will ever commit, and he lifted them off of us and placed them upon Jesus. Now that, if you're looking for something to meditate upon in your quiet time with the Lord, just think about that and ask him to just speak to you about that. Such love. See? Because he did that, he sees each and every one of us as innocent. So look to the person to your left or right and say, you're innocent. In the courtrooms of God, you were declared innocent, which we can believe, and we came to believe because of the gift of initial faith, and then we took the actions necessary. Excuse me. So from there, I want to get into this, that's the initial gift of faith, and we need to stir it up. We need to grow in it, and we do that by reading the Word, by praying, by fasting, and other things. And we'll get more and more of that in the days ahead. That's what it says to do in Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ, which he enables us to do by his grace. See, God is a good God. Say out loud, like you mean it. God is a good God. Say it again. God is a good God. And some of us, if not all of us, have moments where we have a hard time believing that. And I would encourage you to say that, even to look in a mirror and say it to yourself, that God is a good God. So, Father, as we get into sustaining faith, I pray that you would just be with us, that you would be with me, that you would speak through me, that the very words of the living God would come through this mouth, and that anything that is not of you, because I am fallible, that it would fall on the floor before us, and that which is of you would pierce our hearts. Father, just speak to us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. See, sustaining faith is where we walk the walk with the attitude and the confidence that we're not walking it alone. That we have the confidence that we know that God is with us. And no matter what our day looks like, if our boss hollers at us, if we have a flat tire, if whatever, car runs into us because they ran a red light, that he's with us. And that he will always be with us. Sustaining faith, simply put, is believing the truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. You know, I wonder if that's where they came up with that one, to say, do you believe in the truth, so help you God? It's the Word of God. It's true. And I've said it 1,000 times. I'll probably say it 1,000 times. When I became a Christian, I'd had Bibles laying around, and every once in a while I dusted the dust off and looked at it and put it back, cleaned it up. I didn't open it. But it's true. See, and Paul does a great job explaining this in Romans 8. If you're there, starting in verse 31, reading out of the New Living Translation. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? That means if God is for us, no matter who is against us, will have no effect upon us. As we talked about last week, man can kill the body, but only God can kill the soul. And if we're in Christ, he's not going to kill our soul. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, for the reasons we just talked about, won't he also give us everything else? He's a God of blessing. And as we'll talk about in a few weeks, what do we do with that blessing? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. We are in right standing with God. This just blows my mind. Who then will condemn us? No one, because no one can condemn us. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor in God's right hand, pleading for us. Every day, every moment, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. Do you think his prayers will be answered? Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? The scriptures say, for your sake, we're killed, excuse me, killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours throughout Christ, through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, or demons, nor fears, or for today, or nor worries about tomorrow, or nor even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Is there anything else? No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. How's that make you feel? He's there with you all the time. He never turns his back upon you. He took care of that at the cross. See, this section of scripture is absolutely amazing. It's brilliant. And it's the section of scripture we really need to roll with. Because it's powerful. We can take this to the bank. We can trust and know that our God and his love will never leave us, even when we're acting like the most idiotic person in the world. But did you notice Romans 8:36, which most of the time people just go right over the top of because you don't like it? It's highlighted in my Bible in black. I had to find a Bible where I could read it. I'm joking. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. See, this verse really gives us some insight into our relationship with God, and why saints are, as John Calvin puts it, undeservedly exposed to the cruelty of the ungodly. We're in spiritual warfare. See, Paul, with this verse, is warning us that trials and tribulations may come. In fact, they probably will come. They're usually part of the life of a Christian. Because guess what? The world, Satan, your flesh, it hates you. That's just reality. See, the truth is, nothing should surprise us, or we should not walk in a attitude of unexpectation that even today, followers of Jesus may endure suffering for his sake. All you have to do is go back to some of the pictures that were on not that awful long ago of Christians and ISIS beheading them. And their last words being Jesus. But we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry because here's some truths. Because we will not be destroyed like the wicked, Genesis 18:23. Instead, God will use our suffering for good, Romans 8:28. And we will receive relief, 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And he will pronounce us and has pronounced us as blessed, Matthew 5:10. See, Paul understood this and lived this, even though he went through some very hard times, 2 Corinthians 11:23 to 33. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 time I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the cities and the deserts and on the seas. And I have faced dangers from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Aren't you glad your name isn't Paul? But guess what? He wasn't complaining. He was just stating the truth because he was making a point. And Paul knew what he gained through all of this, which he lays out in Philippians 3, 7 to 11. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain, and a better word is probably dung, in order that I may gain Christ. And he found in him not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through the faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings because becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. See, Paul's gain and our gain as we walk through this life when it doesn't look so good, when things don't go so well, we gain things. We know Christ and the power of his resurrection. We know good. We know we receive relief. We know we will be blessed. We know we will become more and more like him. And we know we will attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Now, that is powerful. That's really worth an ovation. That's really worth an ovation. That's really worth an ovation. I mean, it is. I mean, sometimes I think we get jaded. We get caught up in life. Okay? There is God's grace. He never turns his back upon us. But we need to press into him all the more. That's how we get to sustaining faith, as we're going to talk about. You know, I understand that what Paul went through was extreme. We have this DVD that Frank and Terry turned us on to. It's, what's the name of it again, John? St. John in Exile. It's really worth watching. And in there, it laid out how all 12 apostles died. Now, some of it's by tradition. It's not in the scripture. Okay, some of it's written in other books, but none of it would surprise me. But think about being boiled and then skinned alive. Think about being skinned alive and then crucified. Were these guys Christians? Of course they were. They were powerful men of God. Kind of makes me want to just sit back and just let everybody else take care of it. So these sufferings are extreme. I understand it. But we need to understand that there are many brothers and sisters around the world that are experiencing some things that are very similar today, having their heads cut off. I was looking at a story the other day of a woman who's a Muslim, and her face was fuzzy, however they do that. And they were interviewing her about how she's working underground. And they didn't even name the country. Sharing the gospel of Christ. Knowing every day that it could be her last day because somebody could find out. And she would be beheaded for being apostate. So there's people out there. If we desire to live a godly life, we would be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12, New Living Translation. I didn't write it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Let's see, what's the interpretation of that? Remember, we are in the midst of spiritual warfare. So do we give thanks in the midst of the spiritual warfare as it calls for us to do in 1 Thessalonians 5:18? It doesn't say, as I've heard it preached, that we need to thank God for the suffering. It says thank God in the midst of the suffering, though he will use it. Or do we get angry and challenge God and say things like, well, if I was God, I wouldn't do it that way. Or God, if you were really a loving God. Now, I know nobody here has ever heard anybody say that. The truth is, church, we're called to live a life, understanding that even in the midst of the valleys, we can trust God, and our gain will be going back to the things I said a few moments ago, knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. Walking in the goodness of God, understanding that he will give us relief and that we are going to be blessed out of our ever-living socks and we're going to become more and more like him and we will attain unto the resurrection from the dead. I pray that none of us ever have to undergo what some of these believers are going to go in around the world. I really do. But I do know this. If you ever have to, his grace will be sufficient. He will give you the faith. And you will do it just as he called you to do it. But at the same time, we need to be prepared to walk out this life that we're called to walk, whatever the path is, whatever the race that God has set before us to run, that we run it out and we walk it out with sustaining faith, totally trusting God, believing his word, believing who he is, believing him, no matter what trials and tribulations may look like, even if it's just a stubbed toe. See, we need to learn how to walk through the valleys, but while we're in the valleys, having the attitude that we're actually living on the mountains. Always choosing to trust God. Always believing that he is a good God. What did Jesus say when somebody called him good? There's none good. No, not one but God. And he's God. He is a good God. He is the definition of good. Jesus even prophesied that people would be persecuted. Matthew 5:10, New Living Translation, God blesses those who are persecuted. Somebody's going to be persecuted for doing right. In other words, for hanging on to God, believing the truth, and going forth. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. But he also prophesied the benefits of persecution. reading out of Matthew 5, 11, 12, and again in the New Living Translation. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. And I'd almost bet that every person in this room, when you have mentioned the name of Jesus, has been mocked to some degree or another. And then he goes on, be happy about being mocked. Be very glad. It's not enough to be happy, but be very glad. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Now, that's some pretty good company. God will bless us in the midst of difficult times. And one of the things I have to really work on when I get into a difficult time is not to focus on that difficult time, but to instead to take a step back and focus upon God. And receive his blessings. The difficult time may not go away, but I guarantee the attitude of how we go through the difficult time will be different. And then God says that we can be happy and very glad about the persecution. Now I go, wait a second. But I think his grace is sufficient. That's what he said. And I think it's possible because I believe he's there. And I've been in places in my life where it was extremely difficult, extremely painful, and there was a peace that was just amazing. Even to the point that I didn't even notice the pain. And the best part is a great reward awaits us. And we can do this, church, as we walk out sustaining faith, knowing truth, knowing that God is always with us. See, it's easy to see as you look around the world. I mean, do you see a lot of unhappy people? A lot of joyless people? I've actually walked down the street, looked at somebody and smiled at them, and their response was, what? Just saying hi. Wishing you a good day. And they go, rum, 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 and keep going. So it's easy to see as you look at the world that true joy can only come through relationship with God and relationship with each other. As we build each other up, as we encourage each other, as we strengthen each other, as we walk with each other, as we're Aaron and hers with each other, holding up each other's arms. That's why we need to grow in faith and sustaining faith. See, Christianity is under attack around in this world and in this country. Does anybody else sense that? More and more people are referring to Christians as hateful. There was this article in the New York Times that said that for the particular movement of LGBTQ to advance, that what has to be done is the Christian church has to be eradicated. Christians are looked on as hateful, as racist, as sexist, homophobic, misogynistic, and other big words I don't even begin to understand. But here's the truth. That is so very far from the truth. You know it, and I know it. You're not any of those words. If you are, God will convict you, because that's not who we're called to be. Because as we follow Christ and we look to him as truth, we will become Christ-centered. We will become more and more loving people. Yes, we may speak the truth, but we will do it in love. And we won't speak man's truth, but God's truth when necessary. And we do that by walking in sustaining faith. See, the truth of the matter is, God's truth offends. It's my personal opinion, because God created all of us, that it offends because they know it's true. And they know they're not living a life of truth deep down inside. See, truth, us, we can be an offense if we follow Jesus. Peter indicated that Jesus was an offense. 1 Peter 2:7 and 8. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. And if we are following Christ and becoming more and more Christ-like, we're going to be an offense. To the flesh, to the world, and to Satan. A.W. Tozer, a writer, says this, wherever I am, whatever I am doing, I hope and pray to God that I will have the courage to stand up for the real Jesus in the New Testament, regardless of whom I offend. More on courage later. Everyone, every human was created by God, and I believe the truth is in them. But many don't want to walk in God's truth. They want to walk in their own truth. They don't want to be selfish. They want to be self-centered. They want to be their own God. That's why there's no room for selfishness and self-centeredness within the church. I mean, if you can come up with a better reason why people attack us, attack Christians when we're not really stopping them from living the lifestyle they want to live or whatever they're wanting to do, rob banks or whatever, and let me know. But we are called. We have to walk in God's truth by faith, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And we trust that the triune God is who he says he is. If he says it in the word of God, this is who he is, then that's who he is. Trusting that the triune God is always with us. Trusting that the triune God will do and say what he says he will do. Going back to Romans 8. And that takes sustaining faith as we continue to walk through life. The faith that just helps us to walk it out. And guys, guess what? It can be hard. It can be very hard. It can be downright difficult at times. I understand that. And it might even get harder for some of us as we serve him far more as Paul did, going back to what he talked about in 2 Corinthians 11. Don't you some days feel like you're like Peter, Matthew 26:69-70? Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean," but he denied it before all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And he went on to deny him two more times. We might even deny him three times in a day or more. I have. I've been in positions where I backed away. Or didn't do what God wanted me to do. So how do we overcome? How do we walk more and more in sustaining faith? It's really, really simple. And this isn't, we get in the Word. And we believe what we read. We pray. We fast. We ask God to put it deep within us, and where necessary, we repent for all sins. And then we place ourselves before the living God, before our loving Father, before Jesus, even as Peter did, and allow him to restore us as he did Peter in John 21. As we do all these things, our faith will grow. And our walking by faith will improve. And the more we get in, it'll almost skyrocket. when you see a man or a woman and you go, boy, that's a person of faith, I guarantee they spend a lot of time in prayer, they spend a lot of time fasting, and they spend a lot of time in the Word. Because during those times, God's grace pours out on us more and more, totally covering us. See, here's some truth, guys. We can trust God because we know and understand some things and trust and believe that these things are true by God, by our sustaining faith, and that we will grow in them and understanding of them more and more. That some days, one just has to make the choice that I'm going to go for all God has for me, even if I don't feel like it. That no one can kill the soul but Jesus. That God never leaves us or forsakes us. That God is good no matter what. That He is the way. He is the truth. He's the light. He's our life. That His promises are true and sure, yes and amen. That God is always there as we walk through life, that He's right there with us, the Holy Spirit's within us, that Jesus is with us, and all of the challenges that life may contain, that He is right there to help us with the solutions if instead of looking at the problem, we look to Him. That by God's grace, we can live our lives with firm persuasion, with conviction, with belief in the truth, with accuracy and reality. See, these things, we just have to make a choice. What I'm saying is we make a choice. Do we believe God or do we not believe God? That by God's grace, we can believe in, we can have confidence in, we can trust that our God is for us. There is no greater cheerleader. Jesus is standing right at the right hand of the Father, and He's praying for you. And He's not praying, Satan, get him. He's praying that we will come through. He's praying that we will walk into all He has for us. He's praying that we will walk into the blessings of relationship with Him and all the other blessings He has. He's praying that we will walk into His power and His authority. That we can believe in Him and we can have confidence, we can trust that He absolutely adores each and every one of us. And the old thing we say around here all the time, that each and every one of us is His favorite. Now, I know some of you are getting tired of hearing that, but do you believe? But there are people who tell me I have a hard time believing that. So until everybody tells me they believe it, you're going to continue to hear it. Because you are. He just adores you. I mean, think about what He went through. And in that is release in all that He has. That all things work together for good for those who love God. Romans 8:28. That we will receive good. I'm saying this is the third time I'm saying it. Good, relief, blessings, knowing Christ and the power of His resurrection, becoming like Him, and we will attain unto the resurrection from the dead. And as we grow in faith in these things, faith grows. And as faith grows, we grow in them. It's like a circle. We grow in faith. We grow in believing the truth. We grow in believing the truth. We grow in faith. We grow in faith. And it just keeps going on. Because the last thing we want to do is to live a life of hanging on until Jesus comes back. That's not what we were called to do. We are His ambassadors. We are called to go to all the nations. Part of it's right out there. But I believe that we, as a group of people, collectively, individually, are going to be marching forth in His power and authority because of our relationship with Him. See, our call is to live the Christian life when everything around us is screaming for us to do the opposite. Has anybody here besides me ever had friends tell me I was nuts? our parents, employees, employers, family, flesh, world, Satan, life. You know the story how my best friend just walked away because I became a Christian. How my mother called in the Mormons. And this was after I was busted for drugs, and she said, I was just growing up. She's with the Lord now, though. Praise God. That's why we must work on our relationship with God. Why we must encourage each other with our relationship with God. To walk into all of us. There's people here called to be used in healing. There's people here called to have the power to call things out. There's people in this room called that's going to be pray for people and see them delivered. There's people here called to do many things. But we need to go, do I want it? Am I willing to go after it? And we do that by sustaining faith, by going through and continuing to work. And I'm not talking about works here, guys. I'm talking about Ezekiel 36 talks about giving us a new heart, removing the heart of stone and placing a heart of flesh there, that he made this deposit within us. And are we willing to walk it out by his grace? Out of the heart, not because we have to, but because he's put that in there. It's like we were with some people on Friday night, and I can't remember if it was her and or her or he that made the statement that how can a person who is really saved not want to walk in everything God has for them? This isn't popular, what I'm about to say, but the truth is sometimes it'll cost you. It's cost me. But I promise you this, whatever it might cost you, what you receive is infinitely better and infinitely sweeter and far greater. Now, my trials have not been anything like Paul's, not even close. Probably not even like some of yours. I've been blessed because God has healed me of some things. Barrett's disease, which was really a serious thing. And he's healed some relationships and healed some other parts of my body at the time. But the truth is, there's other parts I'm still praying for. I'm still praying for a new intestine. I've had 3 people pray over me. And when they prayed over me, they saw new flesh being formed. I received that. Sometimes I go, okay, God, ain't it about time? He doesn't get upset with the word ain't, by the way, because I use it all the time. But what I received is far greater. See, God has never left me, and I've grown tremendously in him. And I've learned to understand that, you know, people see how I put down Philippians 1:21 all the time. That's my life verse. And it's the fruit of what has come out to me. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul wrote it. I like it. And when you walk it out, the chances you're going to have to share the gospel, to let your light shine, is absolutely amazing. Not because I'm somebody great or something, I've actually was able to let the light of Christ shine to a past president of the University of Missouri. Was able to be in a governor's office and talk about Jesus. To just, you know, even to be around some 1% motorcycle people and share the gospel. He will provide the opportunities. Look for them. Joe, she's not here this morning. We prayed for her. She's not here because she's in pain. Do you realize Joe is in pain almost every day? It's not a question of pain. It's a question, is it a 2 or 6 or 7? Okay? Now we could go, and I'm praying for her. Let me tell you, I want her healed so bad I can taste it. Heart issues. But have you ever seen Joe without a smile on her face? I'm not talking to you, Bert. I mean, think about it. Have you? She's also joyful. Is she perfect? No. Her love for Jesus just really blesses my heart when I think about it. Now, did I ever fail? Did Joy ever fail? Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Yeah, you bet. But guess who is there to always catch us when we stumble? Guess who's always there to catch you when you stumble? And I want to make a statement here about this church. The kind of church that God needs to be as we strive to grow in sustaining faith, to walk through life. I want us to be a church that will literally, physically applaud the courage that people took to walk in as they walk through the valleys, yet always growing and sustaining faith in Christ. I want to be a church that will applaud the courage that is exhibited as we keep going forward, sometimes making mistakes, sometimes stumbling, but always stumbling forward in Christ and moving forward in Christ. I want us to be a church that applauds them. See, it takes courage. It takes faith, but it takes courage to deal with trials and tribulations, with failures. I mean, who here has faced something or another and you just play all these mind games and Satan's hollering at you and God's trying to speak to you and your own voice is saying, are you stupid? The word stupid is in the Bible. It takes courage to deal with trials and tribulations, with failures. It takes courage to keep doing what is necessary to grow in sustaining, continuing faith. And it takes faith, it takes trust in God, but it also takes courage. But God's grace is sufficient, and I want myself and us to be people that cheer them on. I just had this thing of when people share testimonies of how they move forward in God, I want us to applaud them, to encourage them. See, I believe with all my heart, if we make the choice, individually and collectively, that we are going to go after Christ, asking Him to help us to grow in sustaining faith, that we will, capital W, capital I, capital L, capital O, grow in it, and we will 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 grow in it, and the fruit that comes from it will be greater than pomegranates. And why I said pomegranates, I don't know, because I don't like them. But that as we do, we'll become more and more confident that God is always there. We'll become more and more confident that we have a Christ-like call, that we will become more and more confident that He loves us, that He adores us, that He never leaves us, that He never forsakes us, that He's there even in those moments where we're down and crying and just even having a pity party, wanting to grab us by our hands and pull us up, which we can do through sustaining faith. Yes, living for Christ and growing Him is a process. We've talked about that over and over. You know, sanctification is all about walking, learning to walk out who we really are. That's that bride without spot or wrinkle. So how do we walk out by faith? How did Paul do it? Love. Love, 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 love. The love of God that is in all us as His children. Another part of Scripture that's not my favorite. Matthew 5:39-42. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, smack him. No, it doesn't say that. Turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Now, I understand there's wisdom, but sometimes we substitute human wisdom for God's wisdom. See, that's how Jesus, Paul, Peter, everyone did it. Love. It was love, the love in God's heart for each one of you individually that started him from the very start of his trek all the way through to the cross. It was the love for each and one of every you that caused him to go through what is called the kenosis of Christ, to where he humbled himself even to the point of taking on and becoming like a human. And because of that love that he has planted in us, we too will grow. We will. I promise you. If you make the choice to go after God, you will grow. You'll serve him far more. And you may experience some stuff. But remember the promises. So our call to each other is to minister love to each other, as he has administered love to us. So let us walk together, walking out this amazing journey we're on, all while growing and sustaining faith, because it's easier to do so in relationship with God and others than by ourselves. Amen. If you just stand, I want to pray, and then I took longer than I thought I would take. Sorry about that. But Father, I pray that you would put this in our hearts, that we would be a people that would desire to stir up what is in our hearts and to go after you, to make the choice that we are going to be who you have called us to be, and that you have given us the faith, and the faith is available that will sustain us as we walk through what we walk through, the good, the bad, and the ugly at times. I pray for each person here that you would